Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mickey Badlamenti, discipleship pastor here at Rock Point Community Church. Our goal in the messages we share is to consistently present God's truth in ways that will challenge you, bring you new perspective, and ultimately lead you into closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we hope this message encourages you in your faith. We also welcome you to visit us anytime you're in the Detroit area. Our Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and include a full range of children's programs, as well as a ministry specifically for children with special needs. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at rockpoint.org for more information.
Here at Rock Point, we are a non-denominational church. We don't use the term independent because we believe all churches that are following Scripture properly are united. There's not an independent aspect of that. We are non-denominational, but despite that, we have certain guidelines. The staff basically is accountable to me. I'm accountable to a board of elders that oversees me. And then we have another group of people that are called advisory elders. These are individuals who are outside of our congregation, oftentimes national level leaders, who we can call in for advice, input, guidance, resolving disputes if necessary, things of that nature. Our guest today is one of those. David Buring has been in association with this church for bordering on close to 40 years at this point in time. He has been speaking around the world. He's pastored, done many other things. He is currently the leader and founder of a leadership organization, discipleship organization called Lion's Share. He is unfortunately a Vikings fan, but that is something that that we will hold against him. He's a fantastic, actually, quarterback, and we've teased about the fact that we've had a number of games together, of competition, most of which he's won, but we actually have played together on the same team, and I still have a scar. Because you rocketed a pass at me when I was your receiver that took off my head practically in the process. So anyways, I want you today to very please warmly welcome a very good friend and someone who's given us wise and good counsel over the years and provides that again today, David Buring.
Wow. Yeah. I think, Randy, we must have won games then together. We must have been a dominant force. I think that was probably the Viking part of me then. I am a J.J. McCarthy fan, though. We need to be praying for him that he did good, but he could do better. So it's always a privilege to be here with you guys, and I'm not saying that to be nicey-nice. You're my introductory words, but it's always a privilege. I come on this campus, and there's things like this that I look at, that I remember, and somewhere in there is a stick with Cheryl's and my name on it. So we live in Franklin, Tennessee, so just south of Nashville, but have had the privilege of walking with Randy since 1988. And my first time here was with the youth group in 1989. We brought in a ministry team, and we did some things over a day or two with the youth here. And, you know, while I'm here, can I just say this to you? I just want to encourage you that as a guy that in this season of my life does a bit of travel and I speak in different settings, I just want to encourage you how solid of a team you have here. Yeah. Randy, Renee, the leadership team, the pastors. And I just want to encourage you with that, because sometimes we can take that for granted, but you need to know it's not always normal. Like, I'll get into settings with pastors or their eldership or whatever, and they're struggling and they're trying to walk it through. And, you know, Randy is always going to be faithful to the scriptures. Like, you never have to worry about that. Are we going to ever go, boop? No, you won't. And the same with the team. They want to honor the Lord. They're not in it for their own gain. They're in it for the advance of the kingdom. And I so honor you, Renee, your team. And I just want to encourage you, keep praying for them, right? Pastors need prayer. I always have a friend of mine that says, I just think pastors have the hardest job in the world, because he was a business guy. And he said, you know, in my company, I could always cut someone loose. We give them a little severance. And it's like, he said, you know, in church, and I said, well, you know why it gets difficult is because the way God made it, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He calls himself that in the Old Testament, which means it's family. And y'all kind of know what family can be like. Right? That things can get a little sticky or a little offense going on or a little perturbed. And because we're family, sometimes we can deal with those kinds of things. But God shows us in his word how we are to resolve that through humility, which means I was a little wrong on that. Please forgive me. Honor, which means you see the value in the other person regardless of what had happened. And when we walk in those things, we can walk in unity. And I think Randy and the team have done a great job of helping your flock walk in that way. So just don't take it for granted, but be appreciative of what God's brought you into. So I know that Rand and others have been in a series on the church in Acts. And so as I was invited to be here, I just started kind of mulling on that. And I found something kind of rising to the surface that from time to time does for me. And I want to start with a story. And so there's a pastor friend of mine. His name is Jeff. He's in the somewhere here in our country. And one day we were together. And he's telling me about some of the challenges in his church. And I said, you know, Jeff, the Bible doesn't have us measure the health of a church through what I call nickels and noses. What I mean by that is how many rear ends are in the seats on Sunday. That's the noses part, all right? Then you got the nickels. How's the budget? Because sometimes churches, that's how they will measure success, through nickels and noses. That's not how the Bible measures success of a church. Now, those can be some measuring points, but the real health of a church is you see in the book of Acts. I took a... some of you have maybe seen these that are available now. Crossway is the name of the organization, the publisher that does it, but it's got the scripture on one side and the other side's blank. So this is the book of Acts. So I could just kind of take notes and stuff as I, you know, was writing things down. And what I began to look for was, how does God measure the health of a church? Because I think that's kind of the reference point we should all be looking at, right? So I'm just going through the book of Acts. And for those of you that maybe aren't familiar with this, the book of Acts is kind of the first. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. And then the Bible tells us he went back into heaven. And so here's these 12 disciples of Jesus that are going to try to move the ball forward of what Jesus has done. It was the kingdom of God. Jesus came to bring the kingdom. And we have the book of Acts that kind of tells us the first steps of the church. And Jesus brought the kingdom. So the kingdom of God represents kind of the arena where Jesus rules and reigns, where he's the Lord, all right? And so when we read our Bibles, we're getting understanding of what his kingdom is made up of. He's the king of it. All right. A practical way for us to look at this is, oftentimes when I'm with young leaders, I'll bring an umbrella if I'm teaching on this topic, and I'll open it. So just kind of picture me with an umbrella. And what I'll say to them is, this part of the umbrella, the breadth of it, the overall piece of this, this is the kingdom of God. That's the bigger picture. Remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. All right. And then here am I carrying this. I am a member of the church. Do you understand that as members of the church, we're to be carrying the kingdom wherever we go? Okay? That's what it looks like. So with my friend Jeff, we're talking about the kingdom and his church. And I said to him, Jeff, when I read through the book of Acts years ago, and then I just kind of updated here about 3 years ago, of going through it and seeing what's like the irreducible minimums? Like what are the core of what a church is supposed to look like? And I ran into four things. And so I said to Jeff, so just kind of humor me here, but I said, I think this will be a help to you. So on a 0 to 10 scale, 10 being like awesomeness, 0 not so much, I'm going to ask you these four things, and just give me a score to help me see where your church is. I said, okay. So the first one is presence. Like, you can't read the book of Acts without seeing the presence of God over, in, and around everything. People being healed, the power of God moving in such a way that when someone's preaching, conviction falls upon people and they turn to Jesus. On and on and on it goes. There's so many ways that God's presence can be moving in and through our lives. So I said, Jeff, what score would you give? He goes, probably an 8 or a 9, which is true. He's one of those pastor friends that every once in a while when we connect, I'll say, Jeff, how's it going at the church? He goes, Dave, it's unbelievable. Another person came out of a wheelchair last weekend. So I'd go, yeah, it's probably an 8 or 9, right? Just like the presence of the Lord in healing is very evident in his flock. So I said, okay, that's great. I said, the second one that I see through Acts is community, where the Bible teaches us, and I'll show you here in a minute, how much they laid down their lives for each other, and they met one another's needs, so much so that the Bible tells us there wasn't a need among them. They cared that much. They serve that much. So I said, community, what score would you give it? 0 to 10. He's thinking, he goes, 3. Okay. The third one is disciple making. Remember, Jesus told us, go make disciples. So just so you understand, when someone doesn't know Jesus and you're trying to share Jesus, that's like called evangelism. Okay? So someone is in their journey, they don't know God, but now they see God, they give their life to Jesus, boom, for that moment, evangelism and discipleship kiss, and then disciple making takes it from there. And now you're growing someone to help them mature in the things of the Lord, from their character to their attitudes, their relationships, how they live their life of Jesus on the job, all of it. That's the process of growing spiritually. Like, you understand, right, that the goal is not getting people saved. The goal is helping them come to Jesus, get saved, but then to grow them so they look like Jesus. So we have a bunch of little walking Jesuses around. It's do you know that it's like the Christians didn't sit up in a room and go, what should we call ourselves? It was actually the people who were lost called them Christians for the first time in Acts because they were little Christ. It's like little Jesus is walking around. See, that's what we're to grow each other to become. So when someone kind of rubs up against you on the job or you're playing ball or whatever you're doing, the attitude you had, the way you cared about them, the whatever, they just rubbed up against Jesus a little bit. So when you come to Jesus, yes, you're heaven bound, you're forgiven, and we ought to celebrate like the angels do, the Bible says. But you got to realize that's the beginning. That's not the end. You tracking with me? So I said, Jeff, 0 to 10, what would you give that? And he goes, 2. I said, okay. I said, and the third one that we'll see is outreach. And what I mean by that is advancing God's kingdom. Like, as a church, you're doing things to win people who don't yet know the Lord so they can have a relationship with Jesus. And I said, Jeff, think local, like kind of in the area, and then think global, like where you maybe send mission teams or have missionaries. He said, okay, gotcha. So he thought about it. And he said, 1. Then he looks at me, and this is what he said. Are you flipping telling me I'm pastoring a 1-legged dog? And I said, no. But I said, what are the lessons you can learn from what you just told me? He said, well, the first one is this. Can you come on Thursday night and share that with my elders while you're here? It's like, okay. So I do the same thing with the elders, and the scores were about identical. So it helped them see where they were really strong, but it also revealed to them where they need to grow. And they didn't have small groups. They didn't have places where people can connect, men's things or women's thing or youth things. They didn't have, and so people were kind of coming and receiving the worship and enjoy, and then they would leave and they're not connect and they weren't growing. And certainly he said, as a church, we're not trying to extend God's kingdom into the world. So it was like, okay, now you got a good starting place to look at things. Well, as we begin a new year, my point today is just to kind of let you see what's going on in the book of Acts with this. But then I want to bring it home today to a personalized grid for you. All right? So as you're starting a new year, it's kind of like a new clean sheet of paper. I wish I would, like if you think about, where did you grow spiritually last year? Like when you were here in January of 25, and then you're on your December 31, 25, where could you say, I grew, Dave, I know the Bible better? One of the things I wanted to grow on was learning to hear God when he's trying to lead and guide me. That's happened. I wasn't such a good relator to people, but now I love people. And I've been praying for the first time for the people on my job that they'd come to know the Lord. What would your answers be? See, sometimes I find what we do as we come into a new year, we game plan to the detail what your new eating and workout routine will be. I'm going to get up at this time and I'm going to. And we plan our vacation. We lay it out. But you know one thing we don't do? Is we don't game plan our spiritual development very well. And so today I want to just encourage you. You can do that. So by the time you say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, you can say, man, I've grown in these. I've muscled up in the Lord. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Can I just ask that one? Are you guys tracking with me? That's better. All right. So let me just show you a passage in Acts where we see these four. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. You see these four things woven in here. It says, this is kind of the newly born church, went from 120 to 3,120. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And then notice the punctuation here at the end. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here you see those four things: presence, community, disciple making, and outreach. And we see this throughout the book of Acts. So I'm going to take you through a really quick journey of this so you can just get this a little grounded in your head in Scripture. So presence. Let me give you a couple passages here. Acts 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So they had this thing where like God's presence became so tangible and real. They heard things and they saw things. It was just that kind of an expression of God's nearness. Acts 16, we have here Paul. As he's traveling and bringing the gospel places, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden, notice, by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they'd come to Mysia, up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but notice this, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. They're strike one, strike two, all right? So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go up into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. So you see, in God wants to lead and guide us. Like Cheryl and I, 2 weeks from today, we're going to head out and we spend 48 hours or so away on a prayer retreat every year. Just the two of us. And Cheryl likes it because she doesn't have to cook and we go out to eat. So she thinks that's a shout to the Lord, all right? So we go and it's just the two of us, but we have about five or six categories that we pray about and we wait on the Lord. Like when our kids were in our house, and now they're 41 and 39, but when they're in our house, we wouldn't assume that every year, or if there was an elementary to junior high transition, that they were just supposed to go where they normally go. We would ask the Lord, Lord, you see our kids' future. You know what it is you want invested in them. You know relationships you want them. Is this where you want them again, or is there somewhere else? And so the jump from elementary to junior high was a shift. The jump from junior high to high school was a shift. We pray about the things that are in our hands to do and the things in our jobs. And that's a time of just seeking the Lord about those kinds of things. You don't have to do that, but do you take the time to seek the Lord and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and guide you? The second one here is community. Let me just show you a couple things here. They're imprisoned, all right, several of the disciples. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together in prayer to God. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So because of their relationships with each other, remember the Bible says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I in your midst. So God loves it when we walk in community with one another and link arms. And here as they pray, God gives them the boldness they need to stand true. The next one, which is also, by the way, Acts 4, I have Acts 2 here mistakenly, but look at what this says. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. In other words, hey, if they saw a need and they could help do it, they'd help, all right? There was not a needy person among them. Imagine if every church could say that. Do you think that might be a testimony to the world? Do you think the world might want to say, as we say in the South, I need to get me some of that? All right? There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what they had sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and was distributed to each as any had need. But so you see the generosity of heart that comes from community and loving each other well. It's not just about me and what I have. It's trying to love one. I mean, think about it. All it means is what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all that it means. Like if you care for yourself about making sure these things, you're also caring in that way for your neighbor. All right? Disciple making. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. In Acts 14, we also see when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So disciple making is when you are either with somebody maybe who's a little further along, follower of Jesus, who's investing in you, and you're growing. But we all need to become disciple makers. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 28 said, go and make disciples. Like, ultimately, it's not just about you being on the receiving end. It's you investing in the lives of others to help them grow spiritually. Okay? So we have the last one here is outreach. And just, again, give you a couple of snippets here from Scripture. So, again, it's growing the kingdom of God, bringing lost people in. Acts 2, now when they heard this, Peter had just preached a sermon. They were cut to the heart, convicted might be another word that we could use, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, here's where we get included, and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So those who received his word were baptized, and notice this, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. That was a fun day of growth for the church, all right? Here we see in Acts chapter 10 where Peter is in Cornelius's home, and he's preaching to the family that Cornelius had gathered. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Meaning they were listening, and all of a sudden maybe there was conviction of, oh, I need this Jesus he's talking about. And the believers from among the circumcised Jews who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out, notice this, even on the Gentiles. It's kind of like even on a Vikings fan, all right? Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You guys, there are tons in my little book here, I could tell you how many exactly, tons of scripture and acts on these four topics that reinforce this was the core of what the church was all about, all right? But today, here's the question I want to ask you. How are you growing and expanding Jesus's kingdom? So as we start 2026, you know, 2025, there might even be in your heart right now the whisper of, Lord, gee whiz, as I'm hearing this, I realize I kind of was a slouch last year spiritually. I just kind of had it in cruise mode, and I was focused on business and making money and getting promoted and this or my girlfriend, and I didn't focus on growing. If that's you today, don't sit there and beat yourself up. Just go, Jesus, forgive me. Just forgive me. But here's a new year. So here's a new opportunity to say, okay, God, I want to get this all rightly aligned. So I'm going to go through those same four things, but we're going to personalize them, all right? So the first one, again, is presence. So growing you, how can you grow in this, all right? Are you pursuing God's presence? Like, can I just tell you one of the ways that I try to do this in my life is in the mornings, my better times with the Lord are mornings. For some, I know it can be as, you know, you wind down the day, and that's fine. But for me, it's early mornings. And so I put my headsets on, and I have playlists. One is called Worship Intimacy, where it's worship songs, about an hour, hour and a half worth of them, that really draw me close to God. There's a worship warfare one. So if I'm kind of walking through some things where I feel like the enemy is really trying to harass and put hurdles in front of me, I can use that one. I have a worship celebration, which are kind of the fun worship songs, you know, that you can celebrate. I have one that is worship instrumental, that if I just want to be quiet, but I want some worship. And then I have a worship in Hawaiian, because I lived in Hawaii 7 years, and there's a mix of English and Hawaiian that's meaningful to me. So depending on what's going on any given day, when I'm up that morning, I go, I need this one today. And I will take 15 to 30 minutes just to be in his presence. No agenda, no prayer list yet, But it's just being near. It's like, Jesus, I just want to be with you. And I already know you want to be with me. So I just want to set a time to just be with you. I just want to encourage you, as awesome as Jake and the team do of leading you in worship, it's not the only time of the week that we can worship. All right? It's interesting, avodah, I believe, is the Hebrew word for worship. It's interesting when you say that word because it means worship like we would think, but it also means work. So your work can also become worship. Have you ever thought, like when you go into the, to say, Lord, in the way that I treat people today, in the hard effort I give on my job, in the attitudes that I carry, no matter what the circumstance, would you be worshiped today through that? See, that brings God's presence into your job. You guys following me?
Yes,
I just want to be able to encourage you. How's your times with the Lord? Like, do you have regular times with the Lord? Like, can you imagine what a marriage would be like if you only spent a little time? Like, you spent an hour on Sunday mornings with your wife or your husband, and that was it for the week? But see, sometimes that's what it's like with God. You have an hour a week that's dedicated to the Lord, but then what about the other 167? How are you tending your walk with the Lord? The church here, if you don't know, man, they got great people on this team that can help you do that, all right? I love Exodus 33:16. This is Old Testament. It's Moses. And Moses makes this comment. He said, is it not in your going with us, some versions say with your presence, that so we are distinct, I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. Like the thing that makes us unique is Jesus lives in us. So everywhere you go, his presence can bust out of your life. Matter of fact, you'll see here on the expanding through you, in our church, I tease our men a lot, and I'll walk up to one of the guys and I'll say, how you doing, dangerous man? Because do you realize how dangerous you are? Like in the eyes of the devil, you're dangerous. Like you're scary. Because you could go walking into Walmart. And so, you know, I always think of it like this. Here the doors open. And the living one, the most high God, lives in you. And like spiritually, when you come in, it's like. And the enemy's going, oh no, a Jesus follower here. You guys, see, the enemy doesn't want you to believe that, but it's 100% true. And there's times the presence of Jesus in your life wants to break out to the lady crying on aisle 5. But instead we're going, too much drama, I'm out, right? Where maybe we need to pay attention and just come up and say, hey, you okay? Anything I can do to help? When we allow God's presence, if I can play with the words and say, to leak from our life, you have to realize they maybe have never experienced that before. Someone who is kind, who honored them, who prayed with them. Like this is where everyday life should be an adventure. It's not supposed to be same old, same old. Yeah, but I like my rhythms. The rhythms are fine. But within the rhythms, how does God want to move through you to touch other people's lives? I just want to encourage you in that. Hey, let's skip to the next slide. Community. How can you grow in this? Well, who are you connected to in the Rock Point family? Like, not, I'm not just talking about, oh yeah, I see them on Sundays, we high five and fist bump. And like, who are you really connected with? Like in my life, I have several layers. And I would say Randy as a friend of, we met in 88. So like we're coming up here on what, if you do the math, 38 years. And that's, we're not together all the time, but it's like, it's the kind of relationship we just kind of pick up where we left off every time. So it's built over years. And I would count Randy as maybe one of about 5 or 6 people in my life throughout the country that if I was stuck or something was going on, I would probably call and say, hey, Rand, I need your input here. But I also have 3 band of brothers, Jim, Dan, and Bruce, in my community. Matter of fact, this week, can't remember if it's Wednesday or Thursday, we're together. And what we do is, about once a month, we have an open extended breakfast. And there's a certain restaurant we meet at, and we just sit down. And it's, you know, the first 15, 20 minutes we're ordering, and it's kind of guy smack talk, you know, having fun, laughing, and all that. And then one of us will say, hey, Bruce, give us an update. And then for about the next 20 minutes, Bruce will just share all the good stuff, which we high-five and celebrate, the bad and the ugly. And we invite each other to speak into our lives. Hey, guys, you love me. You're walking life with me. Is there anything you see here? Like, where am I off? And we speak into each other's lives. Ladies, who are the courageous sisters in your life that you're willing to do that with? It's pretty fun. It's pretty awesome when you have commitments like that. One time I was in Washington, D.C., and when you go there, you usually always to bring a suit because of meetings you're in. And I was up till about 10 o'clock one evening with a friend of mine, and he just said, hey, you have your suit, right? Because I wasn't wearing it at the time. I said, yeah, I do. He said, can you meet me here at this place at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning? So I'm in my mind, that's 9 hours from now. He said, I want you to speak to some ambassadors from around the world. And I'm going, dude, it would have been fair to give me a couple day heads up on this one, right? Like, I'm going to bed. So I let Cheryl know, and I text my band of brothers. Say, guys, I have a great opportunity tomorrow to speak to ambassadors from around the world, but I'm going to bed. I'm going to get up, shower, get dressed, and there's not a lot of time in here, so I need to hear something from the Lord. And within 5 minutes, this happens frequently with the four of us, one of them gotcha, another one praying, another one with you, within 5 minutes. Who, guys, in your life are those guys? Ladies, who are the courageous sisters in your life? That's important. It helps us get across the finish line. Let's skip to the next one. Disciple making. If you've never been discipled, I want to challenge you this year to get discipled. Regardless of your age, if you're a teenager, if you're in your 60s like me, it doesn't matter your age. If you've not had the opportunity to grow spiritually, ask around. The church has all kinds of opportunities for you to get, A, connected, and B, to grow. Please, don't be in the same place spiritually today when it comes to December 31. There's a man, J. Oswald Sanders, that I would sit under when I was 18, 19, 20 years old in Youth with a Mission. He had a phrase that I still love, and it's this. He said, you are as close to God as you choose to be. I like the story of the older couple. They were in their late 70s. And he's driving and she's sitting here. And they pull up behind a car where the couple was snuggled up. And she had her head on the guy's shoulder. And she says to him, honey, you remember when we used to do that? And he goes, yep. And she says, do you remember those days? Like almost everywhere we went, we did that. Do you remember that? Yep. And she says, why don't we do that anymore? And he just goes like this, I didn't move. That's how God would respond to us too. He hasn't moved. He's still there. You can be as close to God as you choose to be. Can I challenge you this year? Get discipled. And for those of you that have been discipled, go to the leaders of the church and say, hey, if you feel good about this, who could I pour into this? Like the pastors can always use help with investing in people. Like maybe this is your year that you say, golly, Dave, I've been a Christian for 25 years. I don't have one person that I could say to you, I've discipled. This could be the year. And can I just tell you, it's amazing to watch what Jesus does through your life when you're willing to invest in others. Maybe that's this year. Let's go to the last one. Outreach. Do you carry God's heart for the last, the least, the lonely, and the lost? Like, do you have a heart for that? If you don't, it's okay. But say, Jesus, would you give me your heart so that when you run into the lonely or the one that's lost or the one that just always feels like I'm left over, that you'd be able to bring Jesus to them in a way that would impact their lives? Have you considered, like, do you know how to share your testimony? Your testimony is your story about three things: what I look like before Jesus, how I met him, and how he's changed my life. All of us should know within about 2 or 3 minutes how to do that. So if you had 2 minutes, you could say, hey, can I just share what Jesus has done for me? Have that ready. It's kind of like right here, boom, you can pull that thing out of your heart. If you don't know how to do that, talk to somebody here. They'll help you. But that's an easy way for us to present Jesus. And the last thing I want to say on this is this. Start paying attention to the people in your life and the needs that are there and how Jesus might use you to love them, to treat them with value, which means honoring them, to serve them. If you've never done this, can I submit to you, Start making a list, a physical list on your phone, your iPad, on a piece of paper in a journal. Who are people in your life that you love very much and they, you know, they don't know the Lord? And can I encourage you, consider doing something like this. I'm making up the day, but take one meal of your 21 you have a week and fast, which means instead of me eating breakfast on Friday, I'm going to take that list and I'm going to bring it before the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord that he would move in their life, that he would show them what Jesus is like and that their need for Jesus. You watch what God will do. That helps us extend and grow the kingdom of God. Presence, community, disciple making, outreach. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the way that we can see how your church grew in maturity, how it grew and expanded in growth. And Lord, as we enter into a new year, I just would ask, Lord, that you would take these words today and that where in each one of us individually, you need to make them live, that you'd make them live. Speak to us, Lord. Convict us, Lord, where maybe sin or laziness has crept in. Show us clearly steps of action you would have us take. But Lord, may it be that Rock Point Community Church, by the time we hit December 31 of this year, the muscling up in God would be real. The nearness of his presence would be real. The community and care and the extending of God's kingdom would be so overwhelming. It would be a huge celebration of what you've done. So Lord, do that first in us personally, and then let the overflow corporately be expressed through us as a church as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the first service, when we sang that song, an image came to my mind, talking about filling us up and sending us out. Back when our team was in Senegal years ago, the water system would sometimes fail for a number of reasons, and people had to go to a central location with their buckets and their multi-gallon jugs to fill up and bring it back home. And I thought the same image came to my mind here, that we come here, and we can come two ways. We can come with just our glass, get it filled, and take it for ourselves, or we can come with our five-gallon buckets. We can come with our larger containers, get filled, and then take that out, and not just refresh ourselves, but take that to others who have a need. That's the outreach portion of things. We have a women's Bible study and a men's Bible study on Thursday nights. Any of you can come out and join that, whatever the age is. On Saturday, there's Men of Courage, Women of Strength, two groups that meet on Saturday. There's a Wednesday women's Bible study. There's a lot of different options. Dave is actually the author of something called The Discipleship Journey. It's a booklet that you can get a hold of that can actually walk you through the entire process of that. And so as we go into this new year, let us consider those things. Let us consider how we're going to take these four principles and inculcate that into the church. Next week, we're going to continue on in our study in the book of Acts. Dave, I am understanding also today, appreciate you coming. I also understand, more and more with your focus on outreach, why you are a Vikings fan. After all, the Vikings are basically godless pagans. And I think it's great that you're reaching out as you are to them and continue to hold them close to your heart. Whereas the Lions are the noblest king of the... Just saying... Tell you a story of that. Appreciate very much David coming and sharing with us. So, Dave, take that back to Nashville for us. But seriously, let's consider these principles and how we can apply those. There are going to be those up front if you'd like to come forward for prayer, and then we'll take it from there. So let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and we give you thanks. I ask your blessing upon Dave and upon Lion's Share and all that's taking place there in Nashville. Father, we ask you to continue to guide us as your church and that we take these words that are not Dave's words, they're the words of Scripture. They're your words, and that they'd work into our heart and mind, and that we would commit ourselves to community, that we'd commit ourselves to outreach and to discipleship, but of all, and to begin with everything, that we commit ourselves to seeking your presence. Guide us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.